Mr. Katyal, you have 9 minutes remaining.
Thank you. I'd like to pick up on Justice Sotomayor's question about the facts of this case, because I think what you heard from Mr. Dunner illuminates our position on why the Federal Circuit's de novo standard is so problematic. We warned, of course, that the de novo standard would become a magnet for litigation and encourage 285 losers to roll the dice, hoping that they'll can repackage a factual dispute as a legal one in the Court of Appeals. And Pierce and Cooter warn against that and say that's a waste of resources, as Justice Breyer, you're picking up on. And Justice Sotomayor, they say you've already had a merits determination, as there one here. This case proves that. You heard Mr. Dunner say, quote, there were no factual issues in this case, and he talks about the Trigon ruling from the Eastern District of Virginia. As the district court here found, Petition Appendix 63A, Trigon was irrelevant because the question was infringement, not claim construction, and that was why sanctions were imposed. And if there's any doubt, here's what AllCare's own lawyer told the Federal Circuit in 2009. These are his opening words. Quote, summary judgment was granted at the district court in this case for two reasons. First, it was held there was a lack of evidence from which a reasonable finder of fact could determine the step of 52C. And secondly, the district court held even if there was evidence that step 52C was performed, there was insufficient evidence of direction or control. Question from the court. This really seems like it's a claim construction issue for us as to the meaning of this claim. Answer from AllCare's lawyer, I would disagree that claim construction ought to be revisited at this level. In 1999, this court expressly stated it was inappropriate to sua sponte revisit it. Now, I'm sorry to belabor the facts here, but I think they illustrate the wisdom of Justice Scalia's opinion in Pierce as followed by Cooter and Kuhn, which is clever lawyers can always make arguments on appeal, make them look legal when they were factual. This case is example A of that. Now, my friend on the other side has said that that there wasn't history from 1946 to 1952. We encourage the court to look to the cases cited at pages 11 to 13 of our brief, and in particular to look at Orison versus Hofberger, a Fourth Circuit case, which says that in evaluating whether there's, quote, no reasonable ground for the prosecution of a motion, the court says it, quote, cannot be said there was abuse of discretion. In many of these cases, they refer to the abuse of discretion standard. And of course, Mr. Dunner's right that if it's a pure issue of law, that is something as to which there isn't deference. But when the question looks, as it does here, as it does in 285 cases about objective baselessness, whether a litigating position was reasonable after the fact in collateral attorney fee litigation, this court has always said in all of these cases that abuse of discretion, deferential review is appropriate. Now, Justice Alito, you had referred to the size of the award here, and to be sure, it is different than Pierce. It's not different, of course, than Cooter, because in Cooter we're talking about Rule 11 sanctions, which can devastate an attorney's livelihood, and nonetheless, the court in Cooter said they would apply deferential abuse of discretion review there. I think the best answer to that is Kuhn itself. In Kuhn, the stakes were really high, jail time. And what the court said is defer to the district court because the district court has the best perspective, the kind of bird's eye view, a front seat on litigation. And that's why this case is different than, for example, Scott versus Harris or Justice Alito, the qualified immunity cases, because in both of those questions involve things as to which the district court doesn't have a courtside or ringside, whatever term you want to use, seat. They're not present. They're not there at the scene of the crime. They're not there when law enforcement is conducting whatever operation or something like that. Scott versus Harris, same thing. It's not a qualified immunity case. It's a summary judgment case. And the words, as our brief points out at page 24, say, if there is no factual dispute, then you evaluate it on the law. We agree with that. The question is, here, where there are factual disputes, as there are in all objective baselessness cases, what is the appropriate standard? This Court's answered it several times in Pierce, Cooter, and Kuhn, unitary abuse of discretion review. If there are no further questions.
Thank you, counsel. The case is submitted.